Yeah, the clearly as we come into the new tax year later this week, we have got the changes to the basic state pension, first of all, that will be occurring. The major changes that we've got now, I think, is to make things a little bit more simple. Individuals will know or have an expectation of the level of state pension that they're going to receive in the future.
Yeah, so what exactly are the changes? Because at the moment, the situation is that it can be quite difficult, can't it, to work out exactly how much pension you're going to get, depending on how many years of national insurance contributions you've made.
Yes, the government are trying to make things simpler, and effectively what we're going to see introduced as we come into the new tax year is going to be a single-tier flat rate pension. That will be £155.65 per week. The qualifying period to receive a full payment in relation to the state pension will require 35 years national insurance contributions. One of the significant changes from April 2016 is that you will have to have at least 10 years of contributions in order to qualify for the state pension, which is just clearly not the case at the moment.
Yeah, and at the moment, of course, you can make additional contributions as well, can you? Is that something that you still be able to do?
Yes, you will still be able to make additional contributions if you're short on your national insurance records in order to bolster up your eventual pension. Now, one of the other changes that are being introduced will be over in a number of years' time is an increase in the basic state pension age, which is currently 65 years of age. That is going to actually increase up to 66 and 67, and that will be in between April 2026 and April 2028.
And who are the winners and losers out of these changes to pensions, do you think?
Well, it's an interesting one to have a look at who are the winners and losers. For example, I was with a company in Manchester only a number of weeks ago, and I was speaking to a company that's based in the UK and Australia. We had a number of individuals who have come over from Australia. They've paid into the system, and they've been over in the UK for sort of 6, 7, 8 years typically, and they'll return back to Australia. Under the new rules, those individuals will receive no basic state pension. So they're certainly one of the losers. The other winners, I guess, are those who have paid into the system for up to 35 years, and it will just give them more of a defined level of single-tier contribution, which will help them effectively plan for the future. We currently have many people getting to state retirement age or near to state retirement age who we're helping to plan for post-retirement, and they simply have no idea at what level of benefit they're going to receive from the government.
And if you are coming up towards retirement age, or maybe not even that soon, but you're maybe starting to do it at an age where you're starting to think about pensions and that sort of thing, perhaps more than if you're younger, what should you be doing at this point? Is there anything that you should be thinking about, particularly anything that you should be looking to do to make sure that you get the pension that you're expecting?
Yeah, I think certainly what is always prudent is to ensure that you are reviewing your pension schemes, in particular when you're getting nearer to retirement. So what we would often recommend that people consider is to look at the various pensions to understand where where their pensions are invested, what level of funding they have in those at the moment, and basically what they can expect to receive from that when they get to retirement. One of the most important factors as well with individuals who are drawing nearer to retirement is to assess the level of risk they have with their pension scheme. So we would be saying to have a look to make sure that you're up to date with your pension schemes, you know how much you've got in the pension schemes, you know where the money is invested, and you have some sort of expectation of the level of income that those schemes will provide you with.
And in terms of actually achieving that, what's the best way to go about doing that? Is it, I guess, just a case of speaking to the individual pension providers and
I
finding
would
out?
say initially is certainly you would be able to contact each of your pension providers. Now, that may be on a money purchase arrangement that you've funded personally or through the workplace. And in addition to that, to contact any historic final salary schemes that you may have been in. What I would always recommend for individuals, particularly as they're getting nearer to retirement or at that point of retirement, is to speak to a good independent financial advisor.
And there's also changes, aren't there, to the lifetime allowance, aren't there, and the amount of tax relief that you get on your if you take a lump sum from your pension.
At the moment, the limit is 1.25 million. And what that means is individuals can accumulate up to £1.25 million without there being any tax charge on that particular fund, apart from income tax when they draw down the income. What's changing now as we get into post-April the 6th, the annual limit and the lifetime limit are changing. The lifetime limit now will be £1 million post-April the 6th, and individuals who are funding their own pension arrangements can fund up to £40,000 a year or 100% of their income within a given year.
In terms of pensions, also the other thing that's been getting lots of publicity is the new workplace pension, which is mandatory now, isn't it?
Yes, the new workplace pension is something that I've been working with very, very closely for the last 4 years. We've actually put through many, many thousands of individuals through the process. What we are finding now is that individuals will by law be offered the opportunity to join a qualifying workplace pension scheme. Where workers are at the moment, the staging process for companies started back in October 2012, and all companies will have gone through the automatic enrolment process by 2018. The way that the government's actually structured the schemes are with a slightly more modest level of contribution from employee and employer, generally around about 1% as a minimum, employee and employer, as it currently stands at the moment. And we're going to see those sort of levels eventually to around about 8 or 9% of earnings in 2018 and 19 and beyond. So what we're going to find now is that it's going to be very, very commonplace for people in the workplace to be members of qualifying workplace pension schemes and to be building benefits up throughout their working life. I think it's a very, very positive thing that the government have done.
And also lots of other changes as well coming in. I mean, the Chancellor in his budget announced, I mean, we've already had the Help to Buy ISA, haven't we? And now he's announcing the new Lifetime ISA. I mean, what does that involve?
That's right. We've seen the Help to Buy ISA introduced within this tax year. And effectively, that's going to give individuals the opportunity to save, to eventually purchase a property in future years. The way in which it will work with the Help to Buy ISA, which is available at the moment, is really for anybody in the UK who's looking to purchase their own property. So that is bearing in mind at the moment that they don't own a property in the UK or overseas. With the Help to Buy ISA, it gives you the facility to invest an initial £1,200 and a further £200 a month. So what you can do is to put the money aside into the Help to Buy ISA. The government will actually top up the ISA by 25% when you come to actually purchase your property in future years. So again, there's about 250,000 of these particular ISAs have been taken up already this year. They are proving very, very popular.